college pastor forever.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Hi, everybody. Well, this is a very quaint gathering today. Looks a lot like Thanksgiving at my house, except more people. It's funny, as we get a little bit older, you know, I pay attention to different things, and one of the things I pay attention to is how people kind of react to pastors' different ways of doing what they do in the pulpit. It's like, I don't know if you've noticed this, but some people form an opinion based on notes. You know, for example, do you see that pastor? He didn't have a note in front of him. He just preached God's word all day long. He's so spiritual because he didn't have a note. And it's so funny because I have notes. I have lots of notes. And I came to a figure, I now understand why. Because as I've gotten older, you know, it's funny, I just thought about it while I was sitting with my family. I've been ministering vocationally in one form or another for 30 years now. And one of the things that I've come to realize is that as I get older, if I don't keep notes, it's like, squirrel! And I can just start going down a path that had nothing to do with the message God really laid on my heart, because I just, something inspires me to say something about something totally different. And that's the reality of growing older. I'm sort of like that uncle in the corner. Just go talk to him, pat him on the head, and make him feel like he belongs. And I just say things. And so I keep notes in front of me to kind of help me out and stay focused on what I feel like God would really want me to share today. And it's interesting because this is one that you might want to make a note of yourself or tweet or whatever it is that you do, because there are a lot of people that are not here today that are part of this family. And we are a family. You know, we have our family and then we have our family. And then that family is going to get infinitely bigger when we get to see Jesus. It's going to be a really big family. And there's been a key word that's been used this morning repeatedly, and it's called thankful. And I want to give you something to think about with regard to thankfulness, but I will tell you up front, there are three times of the year that are very, very difficult to preach. One is Christmas, because you've heard the message. I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful, I don't preach at Christmas really anymore, that these guys get to do that. And Easter's the other time, because everyone knows the message. And so how do you unpack that in a way that's fresh and new and maybe revelatory? That's tough. You've got to work. These brothers have to work hard for a message at Christmas and Easter. But Thanksgiving's not far behind, because the message of thankfulness, we kind of think, well, you know, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Thanksgiving, thankfulness. Isn't it sad, though, that it's just a day? But there's more to it than even that. I found something yesterday as I was just, I do what I do. I read literally hundreds of articles and columns every day to prepare for what I do vocationally, a radio program. And so in the course of reading so much, I come across things, and I came across something in an online magazine, it's also a published magazine called The Economist. Listen to this. The coastal city of Wenzhou is sometimes called China's Jerusalem. Ringed by mountains far from the capital, Beijing, it has long been a haven for religion that China's communist leaders view with deep unease, Christianity. It goes on to say, this year, however, more than 230 buildings have been classified as illegal structures and removed. Videos posted on the internet show crowds of parishioners trying to form a human shield around their churches. Dozens have been injured. Other films show weeping believers defiantly singing hymns as a huge red crosses are hoisted off the buildings. In April, one of Wenzhou's largest churches was completely demolished. You weren't born in China. We were born here. Most of us were born here in America. Aren't you thankful? I'll get to that in a second. You know, pilgrims were Protestant reformers. Pilgrims, history refers to as Puritans. There were two groups, though. There was the group that wanted to remain loyal to the Church of England and sort of go along to get along, and then there were a group of Puritans that were called Separatists. These Separatists sailed to Holland first. Did you know that the Pilgrims went to Holland before they came here? And that while living in Holland, William Bradford said that the culture was influencing our young people, and so they left because they felt like one of their responsibilities was to not allow a culture to influence them, but to influence a culture. And so what they did is they loaded up and sailed elsewhere, and that happened to be the shores of this country. They believed that they were called to spread the gospel. Now, let me ask you a question sort of as a baseline here. Do you believe that God creates life? Well, let me ask, come on. This is an interactive type message here. I mean, we're really quaint here today, so we can actually talk together, all right? Do you believe that God creates life?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe that there are no accidents in God's world? See, I believe that the definition of a coincidence is a miracle of God where he prefers to remain anonymous. So let me ask, why were you born in America? But I want you to all embrace that question because the key to everything that we're going to talk about today. Why did God choose to have you born in America? I think about that stuff. I think about the fact that I could have been, God could have created me anywhere, but he didn't. He created us to live here in America. And that's something that I think we have a responsibility to think about. Why are we here? You could have been born anywhere. There is an inherent responsibility that comes with being born in this country. Let me say that again. There is an inherent responsibility that comes with being born in this country, and it all stems from being thankful. Thankful that you were born here and not somewhere else. I don't know if I would have survived somewhere else. I don't know if I would have survived being born in another era. I was born very late in my mother's life. I might have been aborted had I been born later. You know, every 3 months or 3,000 miles, they say, check your oil. Check your car. Holiday season, check your tires. Check your car. Check your belt. Some of us need to check our belts a little more than others, but that's another story. So let's open the hood up for a little bit and let's do a little servicing. Did you know, I learned something this week. On my radio program, I have Dr. David Hartz. So who knows Dr. David Hartz? You know Dr. David Hartz? Dr. Hartz is a wonderful, godly man. I've known him since 1987. He does a little feature on my program, and he said something, and I was taken aback by what he said. He was talking about thankfulness and its impact on our health. And he made a statement, and I Googled it. And sure as Sunday, like I needed to check. You know, it's like I'm embarrassed. I checked on him. It was because I was so outlandish what he said. He said that it is proven time and again, study after study after study, that if you journal thankfulness daily, you will feel better. Your physical health is better. Your mental health is better. Your emotional health is better if you take the time every day to write down something you're thankful for. How many of us journal every day something that we're thankful for specifically? I don't want to lie. I don't. Neither do you. No one put their hand up. Now, just for a second, let's just be really just crazy. Imagine if you started to today. That if all of you decided that if you remember nothing else that I speak today, that you remember, you know what? He said, just write down something every day you're thankful for and that it can manifest in my health. I could feel better. It's Google it. Google journal thankfulness, your mind will go, you will be blown away by what you learn. But there's more to it than that. God wants to bless us in our life. Pastor Charles, last week, maybe it was the week before, talked about blessings coming in so many different forms, and that we sometimes lose sight of the different ways that God blesses us. We sometimes reduce it to more in our paycheck, but those of us that are a little bit older realize when you miss that car wreck, when things just last a little longer. You know, I mean, there are just so many different ways that we are blessed. But until we are thankful for what we have, He will not bless us with more. Zechariah 4:10, who dares despise the day of small things? Others kind of rephrase that scripture and says, despise not the day of humble beginnings. Young people, look into my eyes. This is a lesson that one member of my family hasn't learned, my youngest daughter, who is struggling. Struggling. Learn to be thankful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have, no matter how small it seems to you, because despise not the day of humble starts, of small beginnings. There's a reason why some people, as they grow older, things just get better, because they learn to appreciate what they have, whatever that might be. There's more to it than that, though. In Luke 16:10, it says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. Numbers 11, though, teaches a greater principle than all of that. It teaches this. If you read Numbers 11, I won't read it here. It teaches us that dissatisfaction causes us to look at what we don't have. Thankfulness causes us to look at what we do. Numbers 11 teaches us that dissatisfaction causes us to say, we don't have this and we don't have that. A thankful heart focuses on what we have. Did anyone go shopping over the last couple days? Did you brave it out there? Who braved it out there in the last few days? Wow, you all are you guys are online shoppers, aren't you? Right? You know, it's bad enough that you know, we Black Friday, okay, but they jumped that, so they've ruined Black Friday, because now they're like, are you going to wait? I'm not going to wait. Are you going to wait? I'm not going to wait. Okay, we're open. And so they just started selling everything last week before we even got to Thanksgiving. Stores opening up on Thanksgiving. I think it's a tragedy myself. But, there are great opportunities. It's crazy out there. It's crazy in the malls right now. I listened to Dr. Charles Stanley 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said this. Instead of saying thank you to a checkout clerk or what have you, context, say thank you very much. Don't just say thank you. Say thank you so much. That little added something. In the Cajun, it's called a lagniap. Lagniap is a little something extra. That little something extra gets the attention of the person you're talking to. He said, instead of saying thank you, say thank you very much. You can impact someone's life through kindness. Did you know that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit? If you have a Bible, open to Galatians 5:22. Very familiar passage, but we're going to look at it for just a moment here. Galatians 5:22. There's a Bible in front of you. If you didn't bring one, we have it up on the screen. Well done back there. You guys rocking it. Well done back. I'm so thankful for you. Come on, high five. Ready? Yeah. See, as someone who used to run sound, I know their job. It is a thankless task. And I thank you for working a thankless task. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in verse 23. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. I want to unpack that just a little bit more, this fruit of the Spirit thing. Turn with me to Isaiah 32. That's in your Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people to accomplish a specific task for a specific purpose. It wasn't a constant present helper. It was something that God just released upon people for a moment, for a purpose. But yet prophecy shows something very important here. Isaiah 32, verse 15. It says, till the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. I just want you to hold on to that. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. You know what that means literally? If you back this out and do the translations and all that, it means until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. 30 years, folks, studying God's word. There you go. Isaiah 44, verse 3, second half. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring. These are prophetic statements where God is declaring through the writer Isaiah that his Spirit will, there will come a time when his Spirit will be poured out upon people. Got that? Everybody with me? All right, now let's look at Ezekiel 36. Bless you. You're welcome. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel gets a very different revelation about the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel says and writes, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws, etc. Two distinctly different promises. Why is this important? Because it is important for you to understand the difference between fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. To understand the difference between an outpoured spirit and a spirit that dwells inside. Now let me take it a step further. Who's a Christian in the room? I know this is going to put some of you on the spot. Who's a Christian? Not really. You're Christians. Okay, good. Good. We're all believers, I think. This means this. You might regret that you put your hand up. Because what this means is that when you became a Christian, God put something in you. He ripped out that stone cold heart of flesh, of just man, and he put in us his Spirit, a new heart. But with that comes standard equipment. If you've ever looked at a car and you've seen the little sticker on the side, there's standard equipment. It's got an engine. It's got a steering wheel, and it's got seats and tires, and there's standard equipment. Well, here's the thing. The fruit of the Spirit is standard equipment. It's supposed to manifest in all of our lives. It's not a gift of the Spirit that maybe God gives you for a moment, or maybe he just sort of says, you're the one because you put yourself out there, so you're going to operate in this gifting. I personally believe gifts come when you open yourself up to be used. I don't think you own them. I think God gives them as he sees fit for when you put yourself out there to minister, but that's a preaching message for another day. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, it's part of being a Christian. That seed gets planted. Let's use that concept, fruit of the Spirit, seed and all that. Salvation plants the Holy Spirit inside of us. See, the Old Testament is a lesson on one giant concept. We need help. The Old Testament is a history lesson where God can say, you can't do it without help. And so he says throughout the Old Testament at different times, I'm going to help you sometime soon. I'm sending somebody to come. Jesus, my son's going to change everything. And as a result, that Spirit that comes upon people from time to time in the Old Testament, it's going to be in you. Separate to that, the Holy Spirit will be poured upon people. It's more of an issue of sort of surrender. More than anything else, when you allow the Spirit to come upon you, but the Spirit being deposited in you, it's supposed to produce fruit. Let's go back to Galatians 5:22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, the word forbearance actually could mean the same as self-control, which is in verse 23. A better definition there is tolerance. Tolerance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, tolerance, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is fruit, not giftings. So why does it seem like not a lot of fruit is dropping from our trees? You know, I've shown you a picture of my citrus, my cocktail citrus tree. You remember my cocktail citrus tree? My sons describe it to their friends, and they're like, no way. There's no such thing. I have a tree that produces four fruit, four different citrus fruits. Okay, so I cut off the grapefruit because I don't like grapefruit. But, huh? You like grapefruit? Oh, man. Now I'm going to have, huh? Really? Your dad likes grapefruit too? Okay, now I'm like convicted. Thanks. I wasn't very thankful for that grapefruit branch and I cut it down. Anyway, lemons, oranges, tangerines, and grapefruit. On one tree. One tree. It's an amazing thing. But there's something else I noticed, that if you don't pick it the right time, ripe fruit will just drop and say, okay, you didn't get it. I'm falling on the ground. Now pick me up. Okay? Ripe fruit drops. How much fruit are we dropping in our wake? How much fruit are we dropping? Okay, now, I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm just pointing out there's a reason. This is one of those rare moments I got something profound from God. You ready? This is a write down. I don't get a lot of these. Bible says that he only gives you what you can bear. I only can bear so much from God. So he only gives me a little bit. Here it is. Thankfulness is the soil that produces the fruit of the Spirit. I had an epiphany. I read through the fruit over and over. Can we put Galatians 5, 22 and 23 back up again? Can you manifest any of that without a thankful heart? I believe thankfulness is the starting point for all of it. If you don't have thankfulness at the core of who you are, I don't know if we can manifest love and joy and peace. You know, by the way, you know joy is different than happiness. Happiness is surface, joy is abiding. Happiness is just that warm, fuzzy. Joy is, it's going to be okay. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? It says joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So as we head into the Christmas season, I can think of nothing as important as having a sense of thankfulness that permeates our heart, that allows the fruit of the Spirit to ripen and drop on people. Imagine going through the holiday season now with a perspective of being grateful and thankful. Not only does it help us physically, not only does it help us emotionally and mentally kind of keep our bearings and keep us grounded, but it permeates. It allows the fruit of the Spirit to grow and to manifest and to touch other people's lives. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Some of you could be thinking that, Preston, your life is not like my life. Thankfulness is a little hard coming by this for me. And it just is, just being honest. I want to share a story, and I just, let's do this. Let's bring the lights down in the house just a little bit, because I want you to just kind of forget about writing anything down. I just want you to listen to a story. It's not a story I've written. I found it. And it really has a strong message here. And so I'm going to narrate for a moment. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her shoes as she pushed against a November gust in the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. Then, in month 4 of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole that from her. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss. As if that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened a transfer. Then her sister, whose holiday visit she coveted, called saying she could not come for the holiday. Then Sandra's friend, infuriated by her suggesting that her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. Well, she has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what, she wondered. For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her, for an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon, can I help you? The shop's clerk approach startled her. I need an arrangement, Sandra stammered out. For Thanksgiving? Do you want a beautiful but ordinary, or would you like the challenge the day with a customer favorite, the thing I call a Thanksgiving special? Asked the shop clerk. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude? This Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Just then, shop door's small bell rang, and a shop clerk said, Hi, Barbara, let me get you your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward the small workroom and quickly reappeared, carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed, thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers, just stems. Want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please, Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance, but I can feel it right here all over again. She left with her order. Stammered Sandra. That lady just left with, she has no flowers. Right, said the clerk. I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. Oh, come on, you can't tell me someone is willing to pay for that, said Sandra. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago, said the clerk, feeling much like you feel today. She thought she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer. The family business was failing. Her son was into drugs, and she was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband, continued the clerk, and for the first time in my life, I just spent the holidays alone. I have no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel. So what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for thorns. I've always thanked God for the good things in my life and never questioned the good things that happened to me, but when bad stuff hit, boy, did I ever ask questions. It took me time to learn that dark times are important. I've always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from his consolation, we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby and I'm angry with God. Just then, someone else walked into the shop. Hey, Phil! Shouted the clerk to a balding, rotund man. My wife sent me to get our usual Thanksgiving special. 12 thorny, long-stemmed roses. Without the roses. Phil laughed as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. It had been prepared in advance. Those are for your wife? Sandra asked incredulously. Do you mind me asking why she wants something that looks like that? No, I'm glad you asked, Phil replied. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess, but with the Lord's grace and guidance, we slogged through problem after problem. He rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me that she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of what she learned from thorny times, and, well, that was good enough for me. I took home those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks for what that problem taught us. As Phil paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, "I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life," Sandra said. It's all too fresh." "Well," the clerk replied carefully, "my experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so we might know his love. Don't resent the thorns, dear." Tears rolled down Sandra's cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. "I'll take those 12 long-stem thorns, please." "I hoped you would, dear. I'll have them ready in a minute." "Thank you. What do I owe you?" "Oh, nothing. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me." The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. "I'll attach this card to your arrangement. Maybe you would like to read it first." It read, "My God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I've thanked you for 1,000 times for my roses, but never once have I thanked you for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the difficulties I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have drawn closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that, through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant. Praise him for your roses. Thank him for your thorns." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right this moment, I sense that someone, maybe a lot of someones, need to say thank you for the difficulties of their life. It's sort of just another way of expressing the classic representation of the footprints in the sand. It's those times that you carry us when we see only one set of footprints. We think you've left us, that's when you're closer than ever. Today's not a day for altar calls. Today's a day for you to just take a moment and maybe say thank you, God, for the thorns. Maybe it's a day for you to reflect on just being thankful and allowing that thankfulness to be the soil that produces the fruit of the Spirit that can touch other people's lives between now and the rest of your life. Maybe you need to start that journal today and take just a moment to find something every single day that you're thankful for and watch it blossom into greater health. Health in every way it can be defined. Spiritual health, emotional health, physical health. But let's not turn Thanksgiving into a day or keep it relegated to a day. Let's decide to make Thanksgiving a permanent part of the landscape of our life. We'll be better for it. And watch what God will do with it. Father, we thank you for so many things. We thank you for the good. We thank you for the things that are not so good. And ask that you would teach us in the midst of those things the lessons that maybe we've missed because of our stubbornness. That we consider the possibilities of allowing those times to be a source of a new kind of lesson. A soil of thankfulness, Lord, that produces fruit that touches people's lives. I'm thankful to you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for sending your Son. And thank you for planting the Holy Spirit inside of us that we could be different. Just thank you. In Jesus' name.
Preston, 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You know, Preston made reference of